Hey there, and welcome to the Dennis Poulette Audio Podcast. This is episode number 10, but the first episode that we're having during a quarantine. And I wanted to get this audio out because I did this interview on Facebook Live with my friend David Tarkington. David is the pastor of First Baptist Church of Orange Park, and he is also leading his church into a family equipping model. We both strongly believe that family or parents are the primary disciple makers of children in the home. And what better time to talk about worship at home than right now, whenever we are all quarantined to our houses in this COVID-19 world. And so without further ado, I want to give you this interview that we did. It's about a 25-minute conversation, and hopefully it will help you as you navigate this new world of trying to figure out maybe it's a way to begin family worship in your family. So I hope you enjoy this episode.
Just so people know and kind of understand where I'm from, I am married. I have two children. They're adult children now. And my daughter's married and just had, our first grandbaby. So that's the big news there for us is we're grandparents. And so I've been here at Orange Park for 26 years. I think I've got the years right. And for the first third of that, I served as the youth pastor. So I was student pastor, right out of seminary and had been at the same church. And then in 2005, our pastor retired, about a year of interim work, and then the church called me to be the senior pastor. So I've been the senior pastor here, lead pastor here since 2005, same church, which has been great in the sense that I've seen a lot of young people who were students in our student ministry who are now adults and their kids are in our student ministry, and as adults they're leading in our church, and so it's been good. I will say the whole family worship model, the family equipping model, is something we have been strategically promoting, I guess is the right word, encouraging, talking about, not just me, but especially me from the pulpit and from articles and my voice as the lead pastor, but also our associates and ministry leaders as well. For probably the last 3 to 4 years, we've been having those conversations.
Can you kind of define that whenever you say family equipping model? What is it that you're kind of talking about?
Well, our church, like a lot, has been historically, I think I would categorize it as family-based. And family-based model is a different, if you're going to look at the three models, family integrated, family equipping, and family-based, using those terms that have been used by others in this concept. Family-based is good. I mean, all of them are good. But family-based is what I grew up in. It's what our church was traditionally. And that primarily is the concept that we're a church for the whole family, but when you get to the campus, everybody's divided up. So the student ministry is over here, the youth are over here, or the children are there, the senior adults. And so we're kind of like together but separated, not unlike what we're doing now with the coronavirus, I guess. But family equipping, where family integrated is on, I guess, the other end of the spectrum, and that means everybody's together at all times. So there's really no children's ministry or youth separated from that. Family equipping, from my understanding, and the best way for us to describe it to our church membership is somewhere in the middle. We've not abandoned having student ministry. We've not abandoned children's ministry or senior adult outings or those kind of events that are targeted to people in different ages or different life stages. But we've been very intentional to say that intergenerational is key. The church family as one is key, and the family unit, mom, dad, kids, or even grandparents in the home, whoever's living in that home, we're wanting to equip moms and dads primarily to be the lead disciple makers of their children in their homes. And so where our student minister is working with in our area, it's 7th through 12th grade, he is also spending as much or more time trying to provide equipping resources and talking to moms and dads and or grandparents, whomever may be raising those students. And of course, Dennis, you probably realize this, that not every teenager that comes to church is coming from a home where mom and dad are believers. And so church kind of fills the gap in that regard. We're trying to not abandon those students at all or those children. But if there are parents in the home who are believers that will let us come alongside them, we're doing our best to equip them so that they can be that's the family equipping them to be the lead disciple makers.
Yeah. So when we're talking about that, I want to get to family worship, because I think like right now we're in the middle of this. Yeah. We're all at home together. We don't go to worship service the way that we normally would. And so I feel like, at least in my family, there's more of a pressure as a parent to actually try to lead spiritually. Like, even if my church isn't pushing me to that, my church isn't equipping me for that, my church has never really even talked about that, at least I do feel like most of us who are Christian parents are probably feeling a little bit of that weight of, well, they're not going to Sunday school now, so what am I doing to help my kids grow spiritually during this, however long it's going to be? It could be 2 more weeks, 3 more weeks, probably longer than that. So I think one of the major concepts that I've ever read about or heard about whenever it comes to family ministry is this family worship idea. So can you give us some ideas or some thoughts on that? What is family worship? What does it look like? What are you guys teaching or training, equipping your families to do? And or maybe what is it that you want to equip your families to do? Maybe what's the long-term kind of goal of that?
I think, to be honest, when we started talking about family worship, and there's some great resources out there. You, Dr. Whitney's book is a great resource. We've used that. There are others as well. A lot of our folks were of the, from my opinion, and there was no real pushback, but it was one of those, that's a great idea. I hope, yeah, somebody ought to do that. And those that said, you know, we want to do that, to be honest, let's say they've even been in church their entire lives. Most families that we know, my family, really never did this. This was not something that was regularly on the schedule as a part of our week. And with families being prior to the virus issues, being busier than ever with travel ball and school activities, and even if they're homeschooled, they've got homeschool meeting groups and cohorts and all of that that they're doing, there's just so much it seems to be pulling people away or keeping them busy. I think now where all of our folks are going, yeah, it's a good idea, I hope somebody does that, we have actually more people going, okay, I think we're ready to do this because we're at home all the time right now. So in equipping them, about 2 years ago, we did we took our Sunday morning Bible study time, our life group time, Sunday school, whatever your church may call it, and I pulled all the parents of teenagers together, and I really focused with the parents of teenagers and parents of older children, and our children's ministry leadership, they focus with the younger ones, and we tried to model set up some scenarios of what a family worship time could look like. And because I think a lot of folks were primarily concerned with the fact that, does that mean dad stands up in the living room and has a little podium and preaches a mini sermon to the kids? And I know some families that have done that, and I'm thankful I'm not in those families because I can't imagine that feeling, because it almost, I think family worship is supposed to be special, supposed to be godly, it's supposed to be focused, but sometimes there can be such a lean on formalism you know, everybody set up in your chair and I'm going to pull the podium out and mom's going to be over here on the piano. And if that works, that's fine. But what we've discovered most of the time, the family worship, and let's just use this example, say dad is the one that's leading out in this, a time of singing or even just playing a song, a time of prayer together. And anybody can lead in that. And there are some prayer requests from the children and others. And really just, the big question is, what do we study? What do we do? And so what we've tried to do is, and in our church, we're going through the book of Acts right now. And if it's not Acts, we're going to go through another series, through a book study. And so we've just encouraged our folks to take the passage we preached on Sunday and reread it. It doesn't hurt to reread the same scripture again that's already been preached on.
That's not deep enough. Come on, you can't just do the same thing you already did. We already heard that.
Yeah, you know.
My kid said that. I think my kid said that this week. We were talking about the prodigal son.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sitting on the couch because we're watching online worship, and my daughter looks at me and she's like, "We just talked about this last week." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know. Isn't it great? It's one of my favorite stories. We can talk about it again. It's awesome." And she was like, "Yeah, okay, you know."
Yeah, I'm sure it's exciting. Here's something you might not know this, Dennis. I'm not sure, but I just discovered this, that there actually are not any new stories being added to the scriptures. So they've already been written.
I know, and imagine that, like, we could actually read something more than once and learn from it more, you know, more than just what we already know, right?
Crazy. And if you're good at this, I mean, if your church is going through, you know, Acts 3, hey, go ahead and try to get ahead of what the pastor is going to preach on Sunday. You could then blame the pastor for copying your notes, right? So we're trying not to make it, I guess when we're talking family worship, I'm trying to remove the fear of, all right, we're all going to sit in the living room, we're going to put everybody's phone in a box, and we're all going to be, for an hour, we're going to do this. It may not last an hour. It may be 15 minutes. My goodness, if some of our family, I'll be very honest, if some of our family said, hey, we're trying this, and the best we can do right now is like Tuesday nights, 15 minutes right after dinner, I'd say, great. Because that's 15 more minutes than you were doing prior. So don't beat yourself up. Start with that. And it may be 3 or 4 weeks into this of just being systematic with it that on that fourth or fifth week, maybe your child says something that is out that leads you into a 30-minute family time of discussion and worship and prayer. Or maybe they're praying for a family member, or there's a crisis, and we're living in the world of crises right now.
Or it gives you kind of an ammunition's the wrong word, but it gives you conversation topic for another time whenever you're going to talk, right? It doesn't all have to happen in that one set time that you have family worship. It can also happen when you're getting ready for bed, or when you're, I don't know, walking along the way, or when you sit down, or when you rise up. I'm quoting there somewhere.
I've heard that before, but there you are, unoriginal, repeating things that have been said. this is something else that we've told folks, because I said, well, what if his friend's coming over for dinner? Well, I don't think it's and they're in our house during the time we normally have our regularly scheduled family worship. Well, I don't think it's a bait and switch kind of situation. I think you invite the friend to hang out in there. I mean, I don't think you delay that. Now that changes the dynamic too, because now you have a guest. I think you got to know who the guest is. You got to know who their parents are. You got to be very aware of that. But it could just be this: your child says, "Hey, I've got a friend I'd like to bring to church. There's no way he's coming to church, but can he come over for dinner? And we can tell his parents we're going to have a little Bible study." They'll probably let that happen. And so at that point, it's not just a closed group, but though I think most of the time it is. I think most of the time it's a closed group between your family members, a time of family worship. And you mentioned, like, with the virus, and everybody's going online now. We're new to being online. We started in January. I'm glad we got a little bit of a head start. But like most churches of any size, there are always hiccups and there are always challenges with that. And yet we'll have a number of people watching us on Facebook Live or YouTube. And I'm trying to, as I'm preaching, to remember that sitting on the couch, hopefully, is an age range of folks from preschool all the way up to senior adults all across the board. But in a household, a family unit is perhaps sitting together, worshiping together, and even having questions about some of the things that are being talked about following that.
That doesn't normally happen on a Sunday morning, which is crazy. Like, that's a new way to have to think for a lot of pastors whenever they're setting up their sermons. Like, hey, there's probably an 8-year-old in here listening at the same time as an 80-year-old potentially.
So a friend of ours, I don't know if you know Dr. Todd Fisher. He graduated at Southern about 2018, I think it was, but he's a pastor in Oklahoma, and I'm a friend. I actually went to high school with him, and I didn't even know he was at Southern till I met him up there again. And he was posting that his first online service of only being online. It's a little different when you are only online. He said he got some comments from some parents trying. I think he was going through Proverbs. I think he was. And he said comments from parents trying to explain concubine. And so that became a little bit of a, and I don't know who's watching this today, so you can go Google that one on your own. But it creates some interesting conversations on the couch there with your kids, right, which is good.
Yeah. So yeah, some of the conversations you don't want to have right now, but maybe you do. So how can a family kind of like change their mindset of how to begin this? Like, what, like, I know that for me it's kind of a daunting thing. I know we've already talked about, like, you could limit the amount of time that you're thinking about doing it. Like, what are some practical things that a family could do if they're like, hey, this sounds cool, I want to try to do this, we're going to sit down. Like, I know that multiple times in my head I have said, we're going to do this, and then multiple times we haven't done it. So what is something that like that you could just kind of give us maybe as a idea of something practical that you could start with?
Hey, I think practical right now, if your church is online, streaming their service online, and I'm telling our folks, hey, I guess I'm saying changing the scorecard a little bit. I'm saying this is going to count for now. Let that online service be your family worship to launch in. But then when the service is over, as a parent in the home, take 10 minutes after the service to talk with your children, your family members about what was preached. Now, see, in that case, it's a little different because now it's not being necessarily led by dad or mom in the home, but the conversation and the questions are. Because I think if we can say, okay, that's going to count, now it's not like, okay, I've got to do another study and I've got to do this and kids are back in school, but now we're all homeschooling nowadays, at least we are down here because school is distance learning and that's added some stress. So I'm trying to say, okay, parents, don't beat yourself up. Let's count this. Watch the service together and talk about it afterwards and pray together. And then when we're back to normal, don't stop. Just maybe don't do it on Sunday afternoon, or maybe you do. It's when your schedule allows. And then you can say, hey, you know, we're going to set on Monday night before whatever we watch on television or before we get back to homework or whatever it is, we're going to take 30 minutes and talk about Sunday's message, or I'm going to bring another Bible study. I'm trying to give an easy on-ramp for families, and I'm telling them it counts. So let it count, because I think even there's pastoral leadership, there's the Word of God being preached, but church is never, I don't think it's meant to be online only. And so use it for your advantage and let that be your launching point and say, we're doing family worship.
Yeah. And right now, a lot of our only spiritual community, like face-to-face community, is taking place in our homes. Right. Like I should be able to look at my kids as my brothers in Christ and actually learn from them and get some of that community that maybe I'm missing because I'm, you know, not going to my small group or not going to church, going to the building. But there's not that community that we have. So maybe our families need to become some of that community that we're missing.
I agree with that. And I think it's on, from a family equipping perspective, I think it's on the parents. It's always on the parents to be the lead disciple makers in their homes. And in doing so, to also continually remind their children that our online only world right now is temporary, that God intends for us to be back together. So I'm looking forward for us to worship together back at church. Now, what might happen is, I'm not opposed to this. Families may start deciding to, hey, look, we're going to sit together in the worship service where we didn't used to even do that. The students are back here. You don't have to force that necessarily, but there is that we're back together, because there'll be some kids who go, man, I liked it better at home when we got to talk about it.
And when use I didn't that, have to put on the clothes, I could just go in my pajamas.
Yeah, and you know, depending on your church, you might still could do that, but we're going to opt to not go to pajama church.
Walmart church. Oh man, yeah, it's funny. We were just talking before we got on here about how we actually have to put on different t-shirts every day because people are watching us on these Zoom calls, right? So what would you say is like a spiritual win right now, like as a family? Forget family worship necessarily, but like if I'm like a dad and I'm trying to lead my family, I'm trying to be the primary disciple maker of my kids, what is a goal that maybe we can make right now that would be something that is tangible, but something that is actually reachable too? You know what I mean? Like we're all kind of like thinking this is some crazy stuff going on. We're home all the time. I'm angry at my family. I don't always want to be there with them, but they're bouncing in and bouncing out. And I can't have a real conversation even with, I'm confessing now, right? Like can't even have a real conversation just with my wife because my kids are always around. And like, so what's a win as a family in the spiritual realm, but also in the relational kind of realm? What would you say?
Man, I don't. I think it depends on each family. I think a very practical thing that I've noticed, and even some of our families have mentioned. I'll just since I don't have children in the home anymore, I'm going to go from what some of our leaders have told me, and maybe that helps. For years, we have lamented that family time around a meal is gone. You know, it's more of running through the drive-thru at the restaurant on the way to a ball game or a concert or a school event. And while there's still some of that going on, and not everybody's at home working, but many people are, we have at least the opportunity, at least as one family said, we're eating around the table again. We haven't done that in years. And it's awkward silence right now because it's like we've forgotten how to have those conversations. So the win is presence. The victory of being present with one another. And I think it's over time. I don't think it happens immediately. In that time of presence, then laughing together, talking together, and even crying together and praying together. Because what's going to happen is the longer these days go, there already are some sad moments. We're going to have church members who have been tested positive for COVID-19. We're going to have community members who, sadly, maybe not even related to the virus, are going to die. And as I'm hearing from families, they're like, well, you know, I had a grandmother die, and yet only 10 people are allowed to go to the funeral, and they had to pick 10 people out of our family that could go to the graveside. Well, how heavy is that? Things we've never had to cry about together or think about together and grieve together and even determine who gets to go sit at the graveside at grandma's funeral. These are very real circumstances that are impacting us more so than, you know, I don't get to play baseball this spring, maybe. Yeah. And I think the win is I'm lowering that down a little too much. But I think just the win is being that ministry of presence is back, at least for a season. And even parents, we're having to learn how to communicate again. Without having, you know, through a screen, you know.
Like for me, one of the wins has been like my kids are getting bored with the internet.
Yeah.
Like that's a win for me because, yeah, I mean, I've got a puzzle, 1,000-piece puzzle sitting on my dining room table, so we can't eat around there, but we got other places to eat. But
I got you.
Of course, I think I'm the only one putting the puzzle together. But the reality is like we go for walks. Yeah. My kids come upstairs off of their devices and like sit around and like, while I was just saying, hey, we can't talk as a family, like as a husband, wife, but that's an okay thing for this season. I think like I need to remind myself that this is just a season and that I need to be able to speak into their lives even during this time, whenever it's like, hey, they're, you know, my kids are like, there's nothing else to watch. We've watched it all. Because right. we're kind of like, we're okay with giving more screen time right now because they're not allowed to do a whole lot other stuff. So it's like, okay, well, read a book. Okay, well, I've read all the books and I've watched all the YouTube videos. So now I'm here, Dad. What do you want to do? And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, you don't usually say this to me. Usually you're like, okay, what, you know, leave me alone kind of a thing. Because they're getting into that age where it's like, I don't want to hang out with my dad.
Sure.
But this has kind of forced us to be like, it's given me the gift of that presence that you're talking about.
Yeah, I just don't want to minimize that. I think it is for a season. And I think that once we get back to whatever sense of normalcy, the busyness is going to hit back just as quickly, all the things that have been delayed. And so I guess redeem the time because it's here. It's what we're facing. And those moments, you know, I cry at commercials and all that. You know, you look back, I got a grandchild now, and so we're pulling out old pictures of our kids. I'm like, wow, where did those days go? And so now we're in the midst of this moment. It's a history-making moment, and maybe even those conversations with our kids about that. But here's another thing that's happened within our families as churches. Our kids, we have homeschoolers in our church, parents who have chosen to homeschool after much prayer and decision to homeschool their children. We have a lot of families whose children are in public school. Some are in charter school, some are in private, but majority are public school. And as of yesterday, they are forced homeschooling without getting to choose the curriculum, without getting to choose the schedule, because it's teachers online, you have to log in. And so parents are having to do some things they didn't necessarily choose to do regarding education outside the spiritual realm, even though everything's spiritual in that regard. I'm just saying outside of that.
Right.
So from a church family perspective of being a help, we're trying to help parents and equip them, and even finding church members who are willing to be online on-call tutors, so we can, you know, here's my kid and his teacher's not available, but here's this lady that's a retired teacher that's been a member of our church for years, and she's like, oh, now I have a ministry.
Yeah,
and she's
an
on-call tutor connected to this family who's helping this child with math, where maybe mom and dad are either like, you know, it's beyond me, or I haven't done that in a long time. Can you help? And so there's some value in that as well. I think that's a win for the church, because it's connecting generations within the body beyond just what happens on a Sunday morning. So I don't want to miss that either.
Yeah, I saw that you guys were doing that. I saw that you promoted that, I think, on Twitter about the can you be a on-call tutor kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that's a really good idea. We've thought about that just as a family, like my 14-year-old is really good at math. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I've actually seen him in the last few weeks help his brother with math. And I'm like, that doesn't normally happen, you know? So that's a good thing. That's a good thing for sure. So, well, any other final comments you want to give us before we got to get out of here? I got a 2:00.
I hear you. No, I appreciate you letting me do this. And you know, I guess for families, it's the low-hanging fruit. Find the low-hanging fruit to begin the family worship time on your own. And don't try to build a year-long curriculum or program. Just what's working right now, what's available. And if that's watching your church's service online together and having a conversation, hey, that's a great start. So begin there. And know that just about everybody in your church is in the same boat trying to figure this out. And so I think we can learn from one another in this regard as well.
Yeah, well, thank you for being here and for talking to me. Thanks for being a friend. And just thanks for everything that you're doing. I love seeing what you guys are doing down there. We're praying for your church, for your family as you navigate through this. So we will talk to you later.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate you. Praying for you as well.
Thanks.
So there you have it. Just wanted to thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you liked it, please be sure to let me know on social media. Let me know that you liked it and leave a rating on Apple and Spotify and all those places you get your podcast from. Anyway, just wanted to say thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you in the next episode.